Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015, episode 11.17, the Week 13 preview show. Oh my goodness, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, people. Only one team left standing undefeated, and I don't think even Panther fans would tell you that they would think it would be the Carolina Panthers. Wow. Congratulations, Carolina. They stand at 11-0. And as I look at their schedule right now, I'm not sure who beats them. I just don't see it. Everybody was talking about New England going undefeated. But you have to look right now at the Carolina Panthers and say, wow, they have a legitimate shot of doing it themselves. Now, back to 16 games. No more bye weeks. Byes are done. Bye-bye. And I am back to being the smartest man alive. That's right. You heard me, people.
I am the smartest man alive.
Woohoo! And this past week, Thanksgiving, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving holiday and you were had stuff to be thankful for. Brett Favre did. We had a little bit of this.
My Brett Favre's back and your defense is in trouble. Hey now. My Brett Favre's back.
He came back to Green Bay, and it was Thanksgiving, and everything was beautiful, and everyone was hugging him, and they're retiring his number, and it's Brett Favre, he's back. But the Packers lost the game, man. I won't even go into some of the games from this past weekend. I'll just get you ready to go to Week 13. So let's chop it in. Here we go.
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, people, the final undefeated team in the National Football League, the 11-0 Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton leading his team. You know what? Everybody was like this at the beginning of the season. Oh, man, Kelvin Benjamin went out. He's going to have no one to throw to. How are the Carolina Panthers going to survive the season? Well, they're doing it with defense. Their defense is doing such a good job right now. They are creating turnovers, and they're capitalizing on those turnovers, trying to score whenever they scoop up the ball. Steph Curry, if you know him, he's the current league's MVP, winner of last year's final champion, Golden State Warriors. He's a big Carolina Panther fan. He said that the 19-0 Warriors, because Golden State has won the first 19 games of their season, and I think they're actually destroying whoever it is they're playing right now. So it looks like they're going to go 20-0. Yeah, that's right. They're playing Charlotte right now. And that is a final 116-99. So another 17-point victory there for Golden State. They are now 20-0. But Steph Curry said that he thinks the Golden State Warriors, who are now 20-0, will lose first before the Carolina Panthers, who are 11-0. And I tend to agree with them. I think, you know, Golden State, now that they've reached 20, that's new NBA record for starting the season. There's only 82 games, and they've already won 20. How about that? Pretty impressive. But still, the Carolina Panthers, just so that you see what it is that I am seeing with the Carolina Panthers. This is the remaining schedule that Carolina's got up. This week they got the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, it's in New Orleans, but come on, dog. The Saints ain't beating nobody. The week after that is probably their kind of toughest matchup. They got the Atlanta Falcons. But Atlanta's been struggling right now. After a hot start, they have tailed off and they haven't been looking very good. They go to New York to play the Giants. I don't think the Giants are as great as everyone believes they are. I think the Panthers will take care of the Giants with no problem. Then they play the Falcons again, this time on the road in Atlanta. I think they're going to sweep the Falcons. And their final game of the season is against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints game and the two Falcons games are divisional games, so they might be tough, but I think the way the defense is playing right now, those teams and the Giants and Bucks will not have enough offense to play with the Carolina Panthers. As I see it right now, I think they can finish the season 16-0, get the number one seed, cruise through the playoffs, and depending on who comes out of the AFC, it could be it. This could be the year that the Miami Dolphins of 1972, the Mercury Morrises of the world, might not be able to pop the champagne. They might not be able to do that. We'll see how that continues. But after the 33-14 thumping of the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, the Carolina Panthers are primed to do just that and finish at 18-0. Finish the season, the regular season, at 16-0, and then have a chance to maybe go to 18-0 heading into the Super Bowl, trying to do something that no team has done, finishing the year 19-0 and Super Bowl champs. That is what is in front of the Carolina Panthers right now. Also in the news, Los Angeles. That's right where I live. I'm very excited to announce that at the owners' meeting, the owners seem very optimistic that not one but two teams will move to the Los Angeles area to play soon. Commissioner Roger Goodell has been pretty adamant that he wants to have multiple teams here in the LA area. Owners are very optimistic about having teams relocate to Los Angeles in 2016. The owners met in Irving, Texas this week for their December league meetings. They basically just lay out the groundwork for a vote that's going to happen in January. Now, doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to vote, but the groundwork has been laid so that they can possibly vote January 12th and 13th in Houston, Texas, when the owners meet again regarding this issue. There's a couple proposals right now, two different stadium sites. They're going to need 24 votes. There's 32 teams out there. 24 of them are going to have to vote for the move. So we'll see what happens there. I'm excited. I don't care if it's one or two. Just bring one. I will be happy with one. If it's two, all the better. But let's just get it done. Let's make it happen. Let's make it official. Good to see Sam Farmer out there of the LA Times, our friend of the show and guru Sam Farmer. Was interviewing Jim Irsay today after the owners' meeting, and we got that information from him. So, that being said, one other piece of news, which I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, those crazy, crazy Cleveland Browns. As a matter of fact, for you as an organization, I give you the entire organization the following award.
Boob of the day.
Boobs of the day. That is what the Cleveland Browns are. They have come out today and said that they're not going to start Johnny Manziel at quarterback. They're going to start Austin Davis. See, what happened is this past Monday night on Monday Night Football, when they were playing against the Baltimore Ravens, McCown, their current quarterback, fractured his clavicle. He will be out for the remainder of the season. Yeah, you would probably think the Cleveland Browns are now, okay, let's do it. We tried to punish him. It didn't work, you know, because our guy got hurt. Let's bring in Manziel. Let's give him the opportunity to see how he shines the last 5 weeks of the season. What do we have in this guy? What do we have in Johnny Manziel at the quarterback position? No. Instead, we're going to play Austin Davis. That's who we're going to start. He is our guy. Austin took advantage of his opportunity on Monday night, head coach Pittman said in an article to the team's website. He was prepared, he played well, and he put us in a position to win. He's been great in the quarterback room all season, and he has earned the right to start on Sunday, and we expect him to play well. You know what? When I heard that, this is all that went through my mind.
Freaking idiot.
Are you kidding me? Austin Davis is not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. He was third string on your team up until you decided to demote Manziel because, okay, yeah, there's all kinds of reports going on out there as to why you did it. I understand there was a picture of him drinking, holding a champagne bottle. You don't want that from your quarterback, and he probably wasn't forthcoming with the information, so you say, about that picture. And so you benched him and made him third string. Last I checked in this country, please, somebody, anybody out there, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but last I checked, it is legal to consume alcohol in the United States of America. I do believe it is. I know coaches who do it. I know players who do it. And just about every fan of the National Football League does it, okay? So it is legal to do that. Yeah, do you want videos of your quarterback drinking champagne with people on the street surfacing? Probably not. But this is a different day and age that we live in, okay? I know players and coaches who are doing more than just drinking alcohol back in the day. But it didn't come out because they didn't live in a time where everyone had a camera phone, everyone had a flip phone that you could flip and start videoing whatever is going on around you. Yes, Johnny Manziel has to be a little bit smarter. Yes, after going through rehab, you probably shouldn't be out with your friends partying up and letting people video you drink champagne out of a champagne bottle. But he hasn't done anything illegal. If the Cleveland Browns want me to believe that the reason they're punishing him was because this video surfaced and he wasn't forthcoming with, yeah, that's true, you caught me, and instead saying that it was an older picture, I don't buy it. If you should have punished Manziel, you should have punished him for the brouhaha that he had with his girlfriend and the altercation that he had with her out in the middle of the street. Okay? That is where you should have gone hard on him. But for drinking, he can get in an altercation with his girlfriend. That's okay. We're going to make him the starter because the charges were dropped. There was nothing there in the investigation, even though, come on, you know something happened. But he's caught. A video comes out. He kind of didn't tell us the whole truth about the video, and now we're going to punish him. And we're going to stick to our guns even when the guy that we got starting breaks his collarbone.
Freaking idiot.
Just unreal. Just come out. Coach Penn, just come out and tell us you don't like Johnny Manziel. Then I will respect you. For that, I will respect you. You don't like him. You don't think he's ready to be a quarterback. Come out and say that. Don't tell me that you're benching him and making him a third-string quarterback because of a video that surfaced of him holding a champagne bottle. That is ridiculous. You're telling me that you believe that Austin Davis, a guy who's been all over this place, all over this league, and never been able to be a starting quarterback, gives you the better chance to win on Sunday when your team takes the field, gives you a better chance than Johnny Manziel? Oh, just simply ridiculous. Put Manziel up there. Let him play 5 games with not having to look over his shoulder. Just let him go out there and see what he does. And then you can make a decision. Yeah, you know what? This guy isn't for us. And let him go. But don't do this nonsense. There is absolutely no reason to be starting Austin Davis. Did he look good against the Baltimore Ravens, who were depleted and had half their team injured? Sure. Okay. I'll give you that. He came in for a quarter and he looked pretty good. But he also made a horrible interception. He threw a horrible interception late in the game. And then he made a horrible decision late in the game when, instead of running out of bounds to stop the clock, he slides 3 yards shy of going out of bounds. And then wastes all your time, so you have to settle for a 51-yard field goal that gets blocked and returned for a touchdown. That's the kind of football that the Cleveland Browns play. That's the kind of football that Austin Davis brings to the table. That is why you should not be playing him and playing Johnny Manziel. Off my soapbox, I'm done. All right, but one more time for the Cleveland Browns front office and coaching staff.
Boob of the day.
There you go. That's what you are. That's all the news that's fit to print. Yes, there's actually a lot of news that is available out there in the NFL right now. A lot of injuries. Peyton Manning has removed his cast. He's still in a walking boot, though. He's not playing anytime soon. Gronkowski for the New England Patriots. Day-to-day, it's not as bad as people initially feared. He doesn't have a torn MCL or ACL, but it is sprained. Probably not going to play the next week and maybe not even the week after that. Some coaches have been fired. The Miami Dolphins got rid of offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. Lazor was his name. And apparently Ryan Tannehill is very happy to move on from Lazor, saying that he's just happy to be a part of the offensive game plan. So I guess he wasn't a part of the game plan with Lazor there. I don't know. That's kind of a weird situation. And the San Diego Chargers, who have a plethora of problems all over. They've got offensive line problems. They got wide receiver problems with a couple of their top wide receivers down to injury. They've got problems on the defensive side of the ball. But they decided their worst problem, special teams. And they decided to fire special teams coordinator Kevin Spencer. Thanks, Kevin. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. All righty then. Oh, my goodness. So the San Diego Chargers did that. It's very nice. It's not like they're going to do much of anything this year, but they're still trying, and that's always a good thing to do. Finally, Hines Ward might be leaving the broadcast booth as he is interested in coaching at the University of Georgia. So we'll see what happens there. Apparently Ward, who used to play for the Bulldogs, has an itch to coach. And wants to one day be a head coach. And he says that maybe he can get a job on the staff there and work his way up. So keep an eye on the possibility of head coach Hines Ward at some point in the day. 16 games to talk about. Unfortunately, I have not heard back. I was kind of vamping, if you heard me vamp. This week, the challenger for the fans, Danny 49ers fan is the handle, and we differ on four games. I emailed him yesterday, and I've given him more than 24 hours, which is more than some of you have gotten. I was actually on top of my game this week, but I have yet to hear back from Daniel, so I'm just going to tell you what his picks were. I don't know why he made those picks. We differ on four, and we'll put up to the fans. You guys will have to decide the challenge game because, as we said earlier in the show,
I am the smartest man alive!
Yes, that I am. And for Miss Miller, who's on freaking Twitter saying it's about time I won a week, what are you talking about? I lead the fans by 7 games. And in the challenge game, I lead by 2. There's not very many weeks left. I've got some pretty nice leads there. So what are you talking about time I won? Just because I'm killing you. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to pull it up right now just so that I can tell everyone. If you are playing on the NFL R&R Pick'em page, you will see, let's look at the standings. Overall, there are just two people who are ahead of me by 2 games. So Big Sap and Philip B01, they have 115 games correct on the season. I have 113. That's it. So of all the players that are on the site, and it looks like over 100, maybe 100 or so, although it looks like some of you guys have stopped playing because, you know, you can't compete, so you just stop playing. I get it. I'm looking at the numbers here. It's pretty competitive. There are quite a few people that are over 110. Everyone else is chasing. Miss Miller, who's talking smack over here, let's see here, 91? 91? 92? 92 games. And she's talking smack on Twitter. Can you believe that? All right. Just so you know, Big Sap and Philip B01, your two-game lead is not good enough. I will catch you by the end of the season. Last week, I was an impressive 13-3, was the only person in the entire pool to go 13-3. So I got the win solo, and that puts me up there in the mix. I plan to hopefully win the picks game on my pick'em page. Head out to NFLRNR.com and enter your picks. Even if you haven't been doing it all along this season, put them in there now and get a chance to put your picks up against mine for a week. Right now, Danny 49ers fan. Like I said, we differ on four games. Let's find out what four games those four games are that we differ on. We'll start with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. We head to Minnesota, where the Minnesota Vikings, leading their division by a game over the Green Bay Packers, host the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this game started where Seattle was favored by a point and a half, but as of this recording, it is a pick'em. Pick'em it is. Who's going to win? Nobody's getting any points. It's a straight-up pick'em. Minnesota at home, and the over-under is 41. Now, both Daniel and I have the Minnesota Vikings at home. Seattle looked pretty impressive in the beatdown of the Pittsburgh Steelers last week, but they were at home. It was the Pacific Northwest. Ben Roethlisberger was dinged up. He was concussed. And Seattle needed every bit of those 39 points that they got there at the end with a huge 80-yard touchdown pass from Russell Wilson to Doug Baldwin there, 80-yard touchdown pass there at the end of the game to extend their lead to 39-30. Russell had to throw five touchdown passes. That's the first time in his career he had ever done that. I don't think they will have that kind of offensive success on the road at Minnesota. The Vikings know that if they want to continue and keep the division lead, they're going to have to keep winning football games, kind of like they did by beating Atlanta last week. So I like Minnesota to get that win over Seattle, and so does Daniel. Just a bit of information here. Adrian Peterson, the dude is continuing to impress. He looks really good. I'm trying to get his numbers right now. Once again, this is the Minnesota Vikings. At home, they have looked very good. I think their only loss at home was earlier this year to the Green Bay Packers, a game that I thought that they would probably win. They didn't, unfortunately. But here they are, another big test. It is another division rivalry game. Well, it's not a rivalry because they're not really rivals as much like the Seahawks and the 49ers. But they don't play in the same division, but they're in the same conference. This is going to decide who gets that number two spot possibly in the NFC. No one's catching Carolina. I'm telling you that right now. Carolina so far ahead, it's not even funny. Chalk them up for number one. But that two seed, that second seed, which gives you a bye the first week of the playoffs, is still available. Minnesota Vikings very much up for that. And that's why I think that they will get it done. Now, the stats that I'm looking for is rushing stats. Adrian Peterson leads the league with 1,164 yards. Only one other back is over 1,000 yards. Tampa Bay's Doug Martin has 1,038, so he's a whole 130 yards behind Adrian Peterson. Now, he only has five games left. I'm not sure he'll be able to crack 1,000, but nobody thought that Adrian Peterson would lead the league in rushing again, and he's doing a very, very good job doing just that. I think he had 198 yards rushing last week against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, he just went to town. Actually, he went over 158. It was against Oakland, he went over 200. He had 203 yards. Didn't do much against Green Bay. He only had 45 there. Then he had 158 yards last week against the Atlanta Falcons with two touchdowns. So it's just impressive numbers. I said 1164 rushing. So that's almost 5 yards per carry, folks. 4.9 yards per carry. He's got 8 touchdowns. You got to like those numbers. And he's still the best running back out there in the league. I believe he is still the guy to beat. All right, we'll move on to games of the week. The Arizona Cardinals travel to St. Louis to face the St. Louis Rams. Arizona looking pretty good right now within its division. Now, they kind of had a very weird game against the San Francisco 49ers last week. They were able to sneak by them, but they're sitting there at 9-2. They're still fighting for that number two seed. 9-2 has looked very good, but they got to keep winning because Minnesota is right on their heels. Here comes St. Louis. One of those two losses was to the St. Louis Rams when they played in Arizona. Now they've got to go to St. Louis. Unfortunately, I don't think the Rams are the same team that beat them earlier this year. Arizona's favored by 5.5 points. I think they can win by a touchdown. That line seems just about right. 6 or 7 points will be the Cardinals will be victorious by that much. Even with the injuries to CJ, 2K, and Andre Ellington, I think putting it on the arms of Carson Palmer, it's okay. Because Carson Palmer can get it done. It's not like he is a schlub who's not going to be able to get it done. Carson Palmer has all of his weapons still right now. Larry Fitzgerald all of a sudden balling out. John Brown, Floyd. He's got a lot of different people that he can throw the ball to there, and he is doing a good job of that. Whoever comes in to run the football will do just enough to get it done. We both like Arizona. Moving on to Tampa Bay, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers host the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons all of a sudden are in trouble. Danger! Danger, Will Robinson! They sit at 6-5. Now, because they're in the NFC, 6-5 is plenty good to put you in the conversation for a wild card spot. Okay? It's just good enough. Now, they got to keep winning some football games. They still got to play the Carolina Panthers twice. But like I said, they're not catching Carolina. Okay, they're 5 games back at Carolina right now with 5 to go. That means they have to win all 5, and the Panthers would have to lose 5 in a row. That's not happening. So give the division and possibly the number one seed to Carolina. Just give that away right now. That means Atlanta's fighting for their lives to get that final wild card spot. They got to find wins. The loss last week to Minnesota and the loss before that, just not acceptable. They've got to come and take this division win because, quite frankly, Tampa Bay is just one game back at 5-6. Their name's in the conversation for that final wild card spot as well. So they're going to try and play good football. But I like Atlanta. Tampa Bay's favorite in this game. I think they're favored because they're at home. This is Trisha's special upset special where the home team is favored, but by less than 3 points, only favored by 1.5. I don't think they'll get it done. I think Atlanta finds a way to win. They get back to what got them those early wins. They'll run the ball with Devontae Freeman. And I'm just looking at Matt Ryan. It's time to go back to your big dog. Stop feeling like you got to spread the ball around to everybody. Go to Julio Jones. He's your big man. He's the guy you got to utilize. Let him go off for 9 catches for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's what you need to win games. I think Atlanta gets back to those ways, and they take care of Tampa Bay. Daniel, on the other hand, thinks Tampa Bay is going to win at home. I think it's an interesting pick. I think it's a ballsy, gutsy pick. But I like Atlanta to take care of business on the road. Moving on to the New England Patriots, who will be playing the Philadelphia Eagles. You know what? Those Philadelphia Eagles, stick a fork in them. They are done. Ciao. Man, that performance on Thanksgiving against the Detroit Lions was ugly. That's right. U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi. You ugly. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles were. They looked pathetic. And look, the New England Patriots are kind of struggling right now. This is the time you want to get the New England Patriots. You got no Edelman. You got no Gronk. You got no Deion Lewis. Amendola's hurting, even though he was back on the practice field today. He's going to be questionable. So if this is the time to get the New England Patriots, it's right now when they're struggling. Offensively, there's not a whole lot of weapons. Tom Brady has to rely on a cast of characters that not very many people had heard of. And still, the Patriots are favored by 10 points. That's what people think of the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's see here. I don't know if they'll cover. That's a lot of points, man. 10 points. But they're at home. The Eagles aren't playing good football. The Patriots' defense is balling. Even though their offense is not clicking on all cylinders, I'm going to take New England to win this football game. So does Daniel. We like them at home over the Eagles. I think that's a no-brainer. The Eagles have a tough road ahead of them. And I think that they're pretty much done for this season. Chip Kelly's going to be left at the end of the season having to answer a lot of questions about how he put that team together and what he's going to have to do in the offseason to get that team humming again. The Green Bay Packers travel to Detroit to face the Lions. Now the Lions are all of a sudden, they're looking at themselves saying, hey, we're 4-7, but you know what? We win the next five games. That's 9-7. That might be good enough to get us a wild card spot. And all of a sudden, we balling now. We playing some good football now. We've had a couple of wins here over the last couple weeks. Make us look good. Okay? We beat Green Bay when nobody thought we beat Green Bay. We beat Oakland. Nobody thought we beat Oakland. And now we just rolled Philadelphia 45-14. We playing some good football. We got life. Yeah, the life's going to end right now. I'm taking Green Bay. Daniel's taking Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is going to figure it out. He can't go through the rest of the season kind of playing as bad as he's been playing. I think his hand's going to be healthy enough. Green Bay will get it done on the road. They know that they need to stay up there with the Minnesota Vikings if they want to have a shot to claim the division again late in the season. This is a must-win for the Green Bay Packers. Detroit will not have enough to get it done. I like the Packers to get it done. Packers are favored by 3 on the road, which means they'd be 9-point favorites if they were at home. Check the math, folks. Check the math. So 3-point favorites on the road against the Detroit Lions. I like Green Bay. This is the revenge game. Green Bay is not very happy that Detroit beat them in Green Bay just a few weeks ago. So I expect the Packers to bounce back. All right. A lot of games of the week because a lot of these games have playoff implications. The Buffalo Bills hosting the Houston Texans. Buffalo's favored by 3 at home. They get their standard 3 points for being the home team. The Houston Texans all of a sudden have life. They're another team that in the beginning of the season you were like, yeah, man, I don't know about the Houston Texans. But now all of a sudden you look at them, they're 6-5. They're tied with the Indianapolis Colts at 6-5. Everyone else in that division has a losing record. So the Houston Texans, all of a sudden, we've climbed out of the cellar. We're tied with the Indianapolis Colts. We've won 4 games in a row. We're 4-1 in our last 5. And we're doing pretty good in the division. We're 2-1. Let's get it going, and we got to do it now. However, the Buffalo Bills came off a little disappointing loss there against the Kansas City Chiefs. It was an 8-point loss, a game that kind of Rex Ryan kind of mismanaged the clock there at the end of the game. I like Buffalo in this game because they're at home. It's going to be cold. It's going to be snowy and ugly. And I think that the Buffalo Bills would get back in the win column here. If they don't, you might as well be done. They got to keep pace with the Jets, the Steelers, the Texans, and the Chiefs. These are all teams that are all vying for a wild card spot. And here's one of those teams right in front of you. Buffalo has to show that it can get it done. Otherwise, they're out. I like the Buffalo Bills to get it done, and so does Daniel. The Battle of New York. The New York Jets and the New York Giants. The Giants are the home team in this game. But look, the Jets, like I said, over in the AFC, they are right now in firm position, holding on to one of those wild card spots. They want to keep the pressure on the other teams. They got to string wins together. They don't do it very pretty. It's not a pretty football team. Ryan Fitzpatrick, that offense, you know what? But Chris Ivory's balling, man. That dude's running very well for the New York Jets. And the defense continues to come up with big plays. Here comes Eli Manning coming off of one of those kind of stinky poo-poo games against the Washington Redskins where they just flat out laid a goose egg. I mean, it was awful. I don't think that Eli will be able to turn it off and on in this football game against the Jets defense. I like the Jets, and Bold all of a sudden is making a believer out of me. But Daniel disagrees. He's got the Giants in this one. The Giants are actually dogs. They're home dogs. The Jets are favored by 2.5 points. I'm going with the favorite. Daniel is taking the Giants at home as a home dog. The final game of the week, the Indianapolis Colts travel to Pittsburgh to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams are 6-5. Both teams are fighting for their playoff lives. Pittsburgh, not sure if they're going to have Ben Roethlisberger at the helm. Right now, I am going to go with Indy's backup, who is 4-0, Hasselbeck. All right, I'm going to ride him because he hasn't lost a game yet all season. Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't know who's going to go out there. I doubt Ben Roethlisberger is going to clear the concussion protocol. I'm not sure if he will be there to play. So I am going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. If at game time the Pittsburgh Steelers say that Ben Roethlisberger is a go, I'll probably change over to Pittsburgh in this football game. So I am going to tell you guys right now, you can't make that the challenge game because I'm going to flip-flop back over to Pittsburgh if Ben Roethlisberger gets the start. The only reason I'm with Indianapolis is because I don't believe that Landry will be able to plead the Colts. That's what I'm saying. There's no, I don't think Landry Jones has done enough. I don't like him to beat the Indianapolis Colts. So if he's starting, I'm going to go with Indy. If Roethlisberger starts, I'll flip back to Pittsburgh. Let's move on to game of interest. I'm going to rocket fire through these games because we're running out of time. How is it that you guys get me talking this much? First of all, I didn't even talk about The Walking Dead. Did you guys see the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, people? I mean, it was... Here we go. Here we go. So our friends at The Walking Dead are in this place called Alexandria, and they put up these walls around this little community home. And the walls have stood. I guess it was kind of alluded that these people have been living in this post-apocalyptic zombie world for the past 2 years, like 24 months. And it's managed to survive the zombies. Zombies have not infiltrated this place. And all of a sudden, after 2 years, this building comes crashing. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! If you haven't seen it, or if you want to see it, or if you're going to see it, I probably shouldn't be giving too much, but this building comes crashing down and knocks down the walls. And the walls come tumbling down when the walls come tumbling down when the walls come tumbling, and this comes down, the wall comes down, all of a sudden, next thing you know, there's dust everywhere, and the dust starts to settle, and there's this herd of zombies that comes in, and this game over. Literally, I heard Bill Paxton in the movie Aliens go, "Game over, man, game over." That's what it was. This show is just, it continues to amaze me. Every time you think, oh, okay, I think we've kind of plateaued, have reached the peak of the show, it's like, boom, no, it's on now. It's on like Donkey Kong. Let's go. So if you're still not watching The Walking Dead, get to it, man. I don't know what's holding you back. Get out there. It's on Netflix. Binge watch it. It is good stuff. Oh, all right. So there. See, you get me talking, and then I got games of interest. Carolina at New Orleans. Carolina's favored by 7. The Panthers are on a roll. I've already told you I think they're going 60-0. No one's going to stop them. I like the Panthers to win, and I like the Panthers to cover. Trust me, folks, you want to listen to when I'm saying when I think someone's going to cover or stay away from a line. The last 4 weeks, I've been 3-1, 4-0, 3-1, and I was 4-0 again this past weekend. Trust me, folks, listen to these numbers. We've been doing, my buddy and I have been doing really, really good. Take Carolina. They will cover the 7. Kansas City against the Oakland Raiders. Kansas City's favored by 3. I like Kansas City on the road. This is the fourth and final game that we disagree on. Daniel is taking Oakland. Yeah, Oakland's playing good football. They've been playing a lot better this season. They're sitting at 5-6. They're right in the thick of it for the wild card chase there in the AFC. I just think that Kansas City is the team that has all of a sudden turned it up a notch. They're at 6-5. They're actually in control for one of those wild card spots. I think Kansas City goes on a little run here. They will take care of Oakland. Like I said, they're favored by 3, and I think they will cover those 3 points. Did you see what they did to San Diego a couple weeks ago? Hoo-wee. All right. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Cleveland to face the Cleveland Browns. This game is, I said earlier in the show what I thought about Cleveland's decision to start Austin Davis. I think it's pathetic. I think it's dumb. It shows why this team is continually in the dark and in the bottom of this division. They have no clue. They are not playing for their future, and that's on them, people. Cincinnati is all of a sudden 9-2, one game back of first place in the AFC, chasing the Patriots. I like Cincinnati. I've liked Cincinnati all year long. They will win. They'll win big. The spread's 9.5. I think that's a little much because Cincinnati's on the road. When you tell me that the spread is 9.5 in Cleveland, that means that you're telling me it's 15 points if this game was to be played in Cincinnati. That's a huge number. But I like Cincinnati, and they might win by double digits, but this is probably a game that I won't touch. Monday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys travel to Washington to face the Washington Redskins. Washington off that big win against the New York Giants. Dallas Cowboys have to go back to Matt Castle because, of course, the travesty and the tragedy that happened to Tony Romo. He comes back early to try and help his team get into the playoffs, knowing that there's a chance that he might re-injure himself, and that's exactly what happens on Thanksgiving. Just feel bad for the guy. But both Daniel and I are taking the Dallas Cowboys. We don't believe in the Washington Redskins. We think that the Cowboys are going to get back to ground control, control time of possession, make a play or two with Dez Bryant over Washington. Dez Bryant is the Washington Redskin killer. We both like the Dallas Cowboys. Denver over San Diego. The San Diego Chargers are kind of reeling right now. I think they're recouping. They had a big win against the Jacksonville Jaguars last week, but it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here comes the Denver Broncos. That defense is fierce. That defense gets after quarterbacks. I actually feel bad for Phillip Rivers because his offensive line is in shambles right now, and Von Miller and those guys are going to get after him. They're going to make some plays. We like Denver. Nap games. Nap games. Give it to me. Nap games. All right, real quickly, Baltimore at Miami. Both Daniel and I like the Miami Dolphins. Baltimore had that great last-second walk-off home run, touchdown run, block field goal for a return for a touchdown to beat the Cleveland Browns. But, folks, they've got nobody. Their starting quarterback is done. Their starting running back is gone. Their number one wide receiver is gone. Their number one tight end is gone. They got a couple offensive linemen missing. And then on the defensive side of the ball, their defensive leader is gone. The defensive quarterback is gone. Defensive safety is gone. That team has nobody but a bunch of scrubs. How they beat Cleveland, I don't know. They're not beating Miami at home in Miami. We both like the Dolphins. Jacksonville at Tennessee. The Tennessee Titans, they're finding interesting and creative ways to lose football games, and the Jacksonville Jaguars will bounce back. Tennessee's actually favored by 2.5 points. So if you can get Jacksonville and 2.5 points, that means they can lose by up to two. Take the Jacksonville Jaguars. That'll be a close game. It'll probably be decided by a field goal. San Francisco at Chicago. Chicago Bears at home. Both Daniel and I like the Bears. Bears favored by 7 points. I think they'll cover that. San Francisco played Arizona tough, but it was a divisional game, and it was in San Francisco. This game's on the road in Chicago. It'll be tough conditions weather-wise. And the fact of the matter is San Francisco 49ers just can't run the football right now. They're depending on Blaine Gabbert to do too much with his arms. He's not getting it done. Take Chicago and give up the points. So there you go, folks. You have Kansas City at Oakland, New York Jets at New York Giants, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. I've got Atlanta. You guys got Tampa Bay. I've got the Jets. You guys got the Giants. I've got Kansas City. You guys got Oakland. Those are your three choices for you all to make the challenge game. Please send an email to Steven@RARN.net. I will also post on Twitter. I will post a poll for you guys to decide. I'll also put the same poll up on Facebook. Please come out and vote so that I know what you guys want to make the challenge game. Folks, it's coming down to it. 5 games left for each team. And I'm going to say it just because I want you all to say, oh, Steven Miranda, that silly, silly homer for the Dallas Cowboys. At 3-8, the Dallas Cowboys still have a chance to win the division at 8-8, people. They just have to win 5 games in a row. I think they can do it. All right, maybe not. It's not going to happen because Matt Castle is the quarterback. But just imagine if the Cowboys, without Tony Romo, at 8-8, win this division. How bummed are you all going to be? Because you know I will talk smack. I will talk smack. And that's all the time we've got. I'm Steven Miranda. Wherever in this great world you are and however you're listening to this podcast, thank you very much for joining me again. This has been NFL Rants and Raves, and I'm out.